This show combines two of my least favorite things. It does. Crafting and beer.
And talking about yourself.
And seeing you. So three of my least favorite. Grab a beer, let's have some laughs, because it's time for
Crafts and Crafts. I'm going to read this. It's important.
You have notes on camera?
Well, usually I memorize it, but there's so much. It's quite verbose because you wrote it.
Do you know who I am at all? If you weren't looking at this.
Joel Shire.
Very close.
Joel Stein was a staff writer and columnist for Time magazine for 20 years. This like dates you. It kind of gets people.
Yeah, I'm really old.
He wrote 22 cover stories, not that he was counting. Was a columnist for Entertainment Weekly, LA Times magazine. He wrote two novels.
There's no LA Times magazine. These notes are horrible.
I'm getting nervous. He wrote two books, Man-Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity, which I read, and In Defense of Elitism, he's an elitist, and Why I'm Better Than You, and You're Better Than Someone Who Didn't Buy This Book. And I made the mistake of, I do research for these.
Yeah, it's great.
This is cut and paste because you wrote this. I started reading that book today. What was available for free on Amazon,
right?
When you get to preview like the first 15 pages.
Yeah.
And it is. And I started reading it and then I got mad. I kept scrolling and it was like, you're done, because I was having a good time. Yes.
Okay.
And then you taught at Princeton. And then you went to Stanford. I'm gonna say it so you don't have to say it.
Oh, I'll still say it. Don't worry, I dropped that a lot.
You wrote for several sitcoms and you were a talking head on I Love the 80s, which I think that's how I first
That's
heard
what anyone
of you.
Knows me, yeah.
Okay. And then you also were, at one point, you had how many people on Twitter? No, you're okay. It's a working brewery.
Yeah.
At one point, you had how many Twitter followers?
You're driving people away with this
intro. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's very long. And the planes, we were holding for planes, but now they're letting them go. How many followers, what's the most followers you ever had on Twitter?
They were all like given to me by Twitter.
That's not okay. your yeah. So, I
never reached a million.
But it was right around there.
Lower, like 800, yeah.
Cheers. And by the way,
okay.
This is Smortal Frenemy. It's a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. It is 12%.
So that's why we have so little of it, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very nice.
That's delicious.
It's delicious. We seem angry.
I am. I'll tell you why. I'm not a beer drinker.
Okay.
This will be the only beer I may have this entire year.
When's the last time you had a Michelada you mentioned recently at a ball game?
End of last season.
But that was a macro.
I guess that was this year, right? That was the end of the baseball season.
That
was the end of last year. Sorry.
But it wasn't like a craft beer.
It was definitely not a craft beer.
So when's the last time you had a craft beer?
Well, if I have a beer, I usually have either something that looks like this, but it could be a Guinness or something.
Yeah.
And this show combines two of my least favorite things. It does. Crafting and beer.
And talking about yourself.
And seeing you. So three of my least. Seeing you. But honestly, and so far, this is going great. This is delicious.
This is fantastic.
This is almost like tastes like
so
a
we've
port.
Changed one of them.
This has like a whatever that port kind of like.
So what you're getting is you are. Like, so they'll take a bourbon barrel, and I have the brewer back here who will not correct me if I'm wrong with any of my information. You put it into the bourbon barrel, and there is still bourbon in there. So it's picking up the oak. It's also taking in some of the actual bourbon.
And a bourbon barrel is like a used wine barrel, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Well, it depends. Is a bourbon barrel a used wine barrel? It depends. I think bourbon, American bourbon, needs to be a new oak barrel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So whiskey could have something that was used for, but bourbon would be a new, and then
so we're getting a lot of that oak and a little bit of bourbon?
A little bit of bourbon,
and that's
sure.
why it tastes like that, but it has like that fruity, porty,
if
like.
If you get the nose, you definitely get both of those things when you smell it.
It's really delicious.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's delicious. And that's Franklin. Okay.
This is going to be my beer of choice from now on.
Well, be careful.
Okay.
12%. There's some science behind that. So most beer, most like macro beers are about 4%.
Okay.
Okay, so this would be three times that. So if you were to have like a 16 ounce, you'd be having three beers. But the higher the alcohol content, the more contact it has with your stomach that is absorbed. So it gets absorbed more quickly. That's like.
But this is like wine.
But if you have
12%, I'm fine.
I don't think wine's 12%.
Sure it is. Is American? It? Like big
is
American
wine? Josh, what ABV is wine?
Well, you're the expert. What is going on?
Yeah.
Why? Aren't you the alcohol guy?
So
didn't you? Haven't you done like tons of stuff?
Yeah, but
alcohol?
Hold on. Can we start? Are you guys ready to roll?
No wonder you were drunk all the time. You had no idea what was going
attention.
On.
I don't pay attention. So yeah, it's about the same as wine. Can you cut it so that's what it looks like? I responded.
This is incredible.
To okay. So now we have this, and then we're following it with the Gang Goes to Ireland, which is a dry stout. Nice. That's more. I can have a few of those. It's good. A little smoky.
Would you call it session beer?
I would call that 4.5. I'd call that session beer. Josh, the answer is yes. Would you call this a session beer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's nice. It feels like a refined Guinness.
You could say that.
Right? Yeah. Like it has. It's a little more subtle.
Sure.
It's a little.
Sure.
But it's got that like malty kind of like. Maybe not malty.
It's fantastic. But this is
coffee.
This is what you're going to order from now on when you go out.
Well, yeah, because this is like after dinner, and hence this glass.
Yeah, it's just, it enters your bloodstream. So basically, at the end of that, in conclusion, so I know things about certain things, but not things about other things, is that this will hit, even though it's like as strong as three beers, it'll kind of hit you like four.
Right, which is why I can drink wine at dinner and not really get drunk, but as soon as someone hands me a cocktail, which I will avoid, it hits me hard because it goes so fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's because this is delicious. Okay.
So
that's all I got. That's all I kind of prepared.
Are we done?
We are done.
This is great.
Here's what I did because you are a prolific author.
Okay.
I had AI write all my questions.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
So, but let's talk
about. This will be better then.
It will.
Yeah.
Well, so will your writing. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because the interesting thing is.
It seems lazy.
I was like, well, it can. What seems lazy?
You said we should talk about it.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say that writing is the world's oldest profession. But I think that when you refer to that, you call it prostitution. But I don't think that's. I think it's farming.
Most of human experience, there was no writing.
Yeah.
People only figured out how to write pretty recently. It's not natural. Like speaking.
Yeah.
Comes a priori into your brain. We all know how to speak, believe it or not. But writing has to be taught.
Ah, and that's why people can. There's people who are illiterate that can have conversations.
Yeah, for most of human history, people didn't write. And
they passed it along.
Only recently do most people write. Yeah, it's a weird thing we've asked people to do.
So I was thinking about this today on the drive over. and that is that, like, we are asking a lot of our brains. So, you know, driving at 60 miles an hour, not something that I think our brains were ready to do. Writing, computing, multitasking on some pretty extreme levels, keeping up with the computers, everything, watching TV, and like, you know, we basically, and I don't know this, like, we basically have like the same brains that we had 300 years ago, and we weren't making our brains do all these things, and now we have the same brains that we're kind of hitting them so hard.
I don't know. I think the brain is a tool that can do many, many things. So I'm not worried about like.
You think
like,
it was equipped to do that 300 years ago?
Yeah, for sure. I, you know, I'm more concerned about like.
AI.
Hormonal things we're asking our bodies to do, which is like the amount of dopamine hits that we're getting used to having per hour.
That's interesting.
Is really kind of like resetting where we stand when we're not getting the dopamine hits. To a level of anxiety and depression that we can't really handle.
That's interesting. I've never thought about it like that. So,
so it's like a seesaw. So the more dopamine hits you have, your body resets.
Yeah, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. Whereas
you're up, you keep going up.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm going to look at my phone or whatever it is. I'm going to buy something from Amazon. I'm going to drink a beer.
I need someone to like my picture.
Porn, whatever it is. And then, but then your base level goes down, like literally goes down hormonally from where you were. So you're kind of like bummed all the time. And then you need it more, and then you're bummed all the time, and then like kill yourself.
Whereas like,
for real.
Like 300 years ago, you were like just, your baseline was higher, and then you caught a fish.
Here's what I was thinking today. You were so bored all the time back then, that when the opportunity to go to war and probably die came, you were like, of course.
Yes.
I go see another city
give me some excitement. I will go fight because that's all there was to do. Can you be a favor? In the plastic case, I have two metal rulers. I would like them brought to me. Please do not look me in the eye. So here is our activity for today. Okay. This is Crafts and Crafts. We got one craft,
two things
craft
I hate.
Beer.
Yeah, but so far going great.
You hate Arts and Crafts?
Hate.
You're going to like this one.
Okay. I liked them as a kid, though.
Well, this is something, okay.
And my son likes them.
So this is something that was maybe, you know, like when you were a kid, you were doing Arts and Crafts.
Wait, can I guess what we're going to do?
Sure.
Is it involve these $2?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't get...
Now you're excited.
I am excited if I'm right.
Okay.
So in my last book,
okay,
In Defense of Elitism, the first third of the book, I go to this... I found the county in America that the highest percentage of Trump voters in the 2020 election.
Yes.
The 2016 election. Sorry.
Miami?
It's called Miami, but yeah.
Miami, okay, got it.
So I went to, no, why would you know that? Spelled Miami.
Yeah.
So I went to this small town in the.
It is spelled. It's spelled so
Miami.
In your book,
yeah.
I see, and then someone
tried to
said
explain
it.
In the book.
Yeah, got
so,
it.
So the panhandle of Texas, very religious, oil and gas, and
that's on
ranching.
But that's on the east.
No, the panhandle, like next to Oklahoma, the part where it like sticks
up. Oh, that
up.
Panhandle, the up one.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Got it, okay.
And I met all these very religious people, and one thing, two of the people I met did was they would take old Reader's Digest books, which are softer than this.
Okay.
So that, if what we're doing is what I think we're doing, it might not be.
May not, yeah.
These are not the perfect books for it. And they would carve them into crosses.
Okay.
And I have one in my house, and then they would like affix a bow or something, and they have these in their house. And they also would do other things, like a bandsaw. They also do a car.
Usually when I have guests of Jewish descent.
Right, you don't do crosses.
I don't do many crosses. I don't do as many crosses
they
as I would
do. They didn't
feel
that way down there.
Yeah.
They were still into the crosses.
They didn't care. You're Jewish, but you still believe in Jesus.
He did a car for my son. But I realize now that I've said that, we don't have a bandsaw.
We don't have a bandsaw.
Oh, wait, can I guess again?
Yeah, please.
So I think I was wrong.
Okay.
I think we're going to make a secret compartment to hide stuff. Is
exactly
that right?
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. We're making, so what
did
I've
you,
done.
Did you ejaculate on this book? What
this
the
is my plate.
Fuck?
No, this is, I made these.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So I made these. So last night what I did was I took the first 20 pages.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And fine. And because look, at the end of the day, it sits on a shelf. It's supposed to be a book. Now people are going to know, if you go to my house and you want to know where my is, it's in this.
I'm glad I got the Grisham over the Dan Brown.
Do you? Yeah, well, I took two
I'm embarrassed I've that on my shelf.
But I took two books that I was like, yeah, I can these books.
Yo, yeah.
And so what I did was
you can mess with my books as long as you buy them. I don't care what you do.
Would that
to them.
Be amazing if I'd use
do
your
not
book?
Care at all. Be thrilled.
I should have done it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did was I took the first 20 pages and glued them together. Then I put plastic inside.
So the idea is if someone picks up this book,
yes,
they would. Well, other than your...
Yeah, I was debating on just leaving them loose.
But the idea is, they'd fall for the...
Well...
They wouldn't know, because they would...
Why are they going to pick up a Grisham book in your house?
But they could read it a little bit, and it wouldn't be until later.
But you're right, it does look like there's a jacket, but it's glue.
Yeah.
Like, I glued those together. But in fact, before you picked it up, it was very nicely sort of...
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have... I was so eager
for
something I don't like to do. Okay.
But what I did do is, okay, then I put a piece of plastic here, flipped it upside down, and then I took a brush, and I painted glue on here. Thank you so much. I painted on glue so that this is basically has become like a brick.
And then we're gonna. What would you recommend we hide in here afterwards? Like a gun? A gun won't fit in here.
I don't think a gun. I was gonna say if you wanted to bring your gun, you could probably have a small revolver that went in there.
Oh.
You could have a knife. But I was thinking just a compartment.
Drugs
could go in there.
What else? For,
to reset your dopamine levels. Money.
Money.
Yeah. You know.
Treasure.
What?
Just treasure.
Treasure. Treasure. Treasure that you have around the house. So what
I've
done.
Like your rings. Are those aura rings or those treasure?
This is my wedding ring, but if you want it, you could to put it in your book.
No, that's wrong.
Okay. This is my engagement ring my wife bought for me. I don't like the face.
I don't know.
I don't like the expression. I gave her a ring, and then we were in Hawaii, and she bought me this, which is made of koa wood. It's not really like a...
Okay. I know that, that's great.
Should we? Well, so thank you so much to Joel Stein for being a guest.
My first book was called Man Made, and I tried to learn how to be a man, and I'm just thrown by the engagement ring made out of koa wood.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Okay, so if we, Can you grab? I have a box of pencils that I should. But I was getting nervous about Joel showing up today because I thought he was going to criticize me. But if I okay, so here's what I did. Okay. I had AI write a biography about you.
Okay.
And the thing is,
that's become a thing. I was going to do a story on. There was, I don't know if this is still going on, but when ChatGPT-3 first came out, if you came out with a book, like you had a book coming out, or something coming out, someone, and I couldn't figure out who, was making biographies of the author or the person through ChatGPT-3 and putting them on Amazon too, I think in the hopes that you get confused, and instead of buying the book you wanted to buy, buy the biography of this person that was written by ChatGPT-3.
Oh, wow.
Does that make sense, what I tried to describe?
No.
Okay.
Can you try it again?
I'll write it. I'm better in writing.
So here, all you're doing with this pencil, I'm over doing things. So what you have to do is you're gonna basically like take a square.
I love as soon as you do crafts with someone, the person who's doing the craft gets so desperately serious about it. And they so—
Saying other episodes that I've done?
No, yeah, you just—
Did you saw the one with Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, and you get so desperate to get the task done. I love it.
So you keep in mind as I'm doing it in pencil that I'm making a square or sort of a—
See?
Yeah.
See? You just don't really care.
And then now, I have very little interest in you at this point.
Yeah.
You have a Greg Fitzsimmons story that's
I do.
Possibly NSFW?
No, it's very safe for
okay,
work.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If this is work, okay, I guess, in some ways for
yes,
you.
Yes.
It's amazing.
If I'm not drinking, then—
But you are.
Yes,
you
are. But I am drinking.
Okay, so it's in the top and the bottom too, one width?
Yeah, so you're making a rectangle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So—
But the idea was to do it lightly so that when the criminal— You know what? By the time the criminal has opened this up—
I can erase it. It's a pencil. We're fine.
Okay.
Jesus.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
You know, my first
job ever—
Choose
your weapon. I know which one I want, but that's because I pulled it out. I'm just going to take it.
My first job ever out of college—
Yeah.
Was working for Martha Stewart.
I had seen that. Okay.
I'm a little ready for— Oh, these— Did you put this on here?
No. No, and now I'm afraid to take it off. This is like some
sort of
protective.
You're really nervous.
Thank you.
Hack at this thing?
You
now,
and Rip. No, I think— So I've never done this before, but I think what you do is you just start kind of going down.
I think
down.
We need bigger equipment than this to destroy a book.
Well,
do you think the Nazis went at books with like this?
Yeah, but they weren't preserving the book to hide their—
I don't know. This doesn't seem like— we'll be here for hours.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Theoretically, right. 20 minutes. The only thing is, please do not cut yourself off camera.
Do you not have any—
No. If you do it, I want it to be in the show. Amazing for ratings.
How far, like a clip. We should go deep, right?
Yeah, but the thing is what you're doing is you're just kind of going—
So we have to do this like hundreds of times.
Theoretically. Do you have someplace to be?
No. Point taken.
I don't like— So I did get metal rulers instead of wooden rulers.
You know, I will say this is one of the few craft projects where I see myself actually keeping this and using this.
So, all jokes aside—
wasn't a joke. I was serious.
Well, I was prefacing what I was about to say. Is that I like to make things for the guest and like cater the craft to them, so it is in fact something that they would like to have.
We have a huge— one of the reasons we bought our house is it— when you walk into the main room, there is it's a very tall room, much like this room, as tall as this, and there's a ladder.
I get
a library.
I get it. You have a huge house.
That's all I'm trying to tell you. Okay, as long as I got that across. But this can go in the library.
Yes. Well, the only thing as I was thinking is like, now that people know what it is, like a criminal who's watching the show.
But it's such a big library, you have to go through.
You have to
they know which book.
They
now.
Know what book it is. All you have to do, you know what you do? Put a cover on it.
That's a good idea. By the way, I hate covers on books.
Me too.
So I tried to get them to let me write my last book without—
Really?
So it looks like this.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, you know who got away with that recently? Was Rick Rubin's book has no cover. It's just beautifully written on here.
That's very Rick Rubin.
I know,
but was that the point of it? Is this like—
No, it just looks like it looks like a beautiful thing. Whereas they make you put this cheap plastic cover on it because they can put marketing material on it. They put the blurbs.
Yes.
And the—
Oh, I see.
It's all about marketing. Yeah. how many pages are you getting out per?
I think I'm getting like seven. So you are right. This is taking a while.
Can I read the first? Can we each read the first sentence?
Yeah. Mine. Fuck it. Mine. Well, I'll read where I am here.
And you're reading from Dan
Brown. Dan Brown, Angels and Demons. Which? How many times have you read this book?
Probably six.
Six times. As the pair hurried on, Langdon.
Wait, what?
Langdon, who would be our protagonist.
Okay. Is this the first sentence?
Well, no, I.
Well, go to the first. That's how do you follow that? Well, I thought you didn't include
pages. I said I did, and then you. If it's that important to you, do I have to open the prologue or?
No, just the regular.
How about the author's note?
No, I want the first sentence. First sentence is key.
Okay, here we go. Oh, here we go. Okay, we got the cover page.
This is like a Dan Brown adventure, just to read it.
It is. Okay.
I'm gonna keep working over here.
Okay, so I'm just gonna peel this one back, and I reveal. Why don't you read me the first?
Okay, that's good.
What is that?
I've never read a John Grisham book.
Really?
Yeah, and this is The Rainmaker. So this is my first time reading
any
sentence.
Have you seen the movie?
The movie The Rainmaker?
Yeah.
No, it was a movie.
It's a movie.
My decision.
Isn't
to,
it?
I don't know. I know what a rainmaker is, so I'm already well informed.
It's like those things that you turn upside down?
No, it's the person who brings in money to the firm, like the guy who brings in the clients.
I was trying to be funny. I don't know if I'll be able to get...
This isn't about being funny, this is about John Grisham.
Apparently not.
My decision to become a lawyer was irrevocably, that's hard. Mm-hmm. My decision to become a lawyer was irrevocably sealed.
Why would you, if it was difficult the first time, why did you try to go back and redo it?
It's skill building. Sealed. When I realized my father hated the legal profession. I'm not sold to keep reading.
Give him one more sentence.
I was a young teenager, clumsy, embarrassed by my awkwardness.
I was a young teenager? As opposed to what other ages could you be?
13, 14 compared to 18, 19.
Okay.
Clumsy, embarrassed by my awkwardness, frustrated with life, horrified of puberty, about to be shipped off to a military school by my father for insubordination.
I'm more into it. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
He was an ex-Marine who believed boys should live by the crack of the whip.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm into it. Physicist Leonardo Vetra smelled burning flesh, and he knew it was his own.
Tremendous.
Yours took a few sentences to get there. He stared up in terror at the dark figure looming over him. What do you want? La chauvre, the raspy voice replied.
The what?
The password. But I don't. The intruder pressed down again, grinding the something. The white hot object deeper into Vetra's chest. There was the hiss of broiling flesh.
I am now realizing what a horrible decision you've made to make this your hiding place book.
Because people are going to be, they're going to be ripping you open to read the prologue.
No.
And they'll be like, what, there's money in here?
His books are about, like, searching for things and trying to find things.
True.
It's like, give it away
right
there.
This is like national treasure.
Yeah.
Like, you see this mess that Joel?
I like to read a book. I like the book.
You haven't even read one. Okay, here we go. Okay, so.
This is going to take hours.
I don't think it's going to take hours. Because at the end of the day, now, this is step one.
Step one?
Yeah.
What, but there'll be a hole. Why do we need a step two?
Because what we're gonna we can put more glue in it, and then we can line it with felt, if we want. But we don't have to. The thing is like, then what? So it looks good for the criminal as he steals your shit.
You know, I realize I don't own anything nice. Like, what would I put in here? What do you own that you could put in here?
Well, how about this? It could be like the red herring. Like, you could put in, like, fake jewels.
But I don't have a herring. Like, I don't have the thing that I want to distract people
from. This book would be the red herring, because now people know if they go into Joel's house, they're looking for that book because it has what may be treasure, or it might be costume jewelry that looks expensive, and they're like, ha-ha, and they run away, and then they don't take your computer with all your writings.
Oh, it's all in the cloud. I don't own anything that I care about. Do you own anything you care about?
Whenever I think about, like, if my house was on fire, the first thing I would do, besides getting my wife out, would be the animals, of which there's plenty.
What are you, Noah? How many animals?
13 at the present time.
Is that true?
Present time. Yeah.
Is that really true?
Yeah. My wife and I have an animal rescue called Pumpkin Patch Pet Rescue. Yeah. During the pandemic, there was one day where we had 23 cats and 13 dogs. What we do is we kind of get them, like if there's a special needs animal, or if there's an animal that's in a shelter, a kill shelter that we know is like on the chopping block.
Here's what I've learned. Your wife is incredibly hot.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because I've met these animal saving people.
Uh huh.
And they're all basically ex
cat people.
Playboy models. And
yeah, like, that's so,
every time.
That's true. Wait. Oh, have you not met my wife?
No.
Oh, that's so funny.
There's a chapter in my book where I went, because I don't do well with animals. To be a man, I decided to have a dog for a week. So I met all these animal people that loan you foster animals or whatever.
Okay.
And
not really a business, but okay.
Well, you're right. Wasn't it? They were charities. There was
someone helping you with your book. It wasn't like, hey, can I have a dog for a week?
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And you can't just get a dog for a week. They were like, no, we have to come to your house and look at it and test you.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was like, really? Because this dog is going to die if I don't take it.
Yeah.
All these women were beautiful.
Right. And so that's a misconception than the one that
were beautiful.
But when I was in, that one is correct.
Okay.
But when I was at a Petco one time, before I met my wife, I mean like 15 years ago, there were these kittens. And they're for adoption. I'm like, I'll take it. That's great. They're like, okay, we need to schedule a home visit.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. I'm like, wait, what?
So here's
the thing. If you go into a shelter, which if you want an animal, go into a shelter. Like there, you don't have to pass anything, whatever. But once
there's no hot women.
There are not.
Well, why am I going to do
that? Why are you doing it? Yes. And so at that point, once they get into the foster system, mm-hmm. there's really no rush. What they're trying to do, what we're trying to do, and really what she's trying to do is just find the best home for someone, for an animal.
Was she an actress? Was she like, what?
No, she's a unicorn. She really is. She's just beautiful, and she's a voracious reader, and she rescues animals, and she's pretty unique. I thought you had met her at some point.
No.
She worked in my, she produced my show, so if you were there, you just weren't paying attention.
I would have paid attention.
Okay, so AI, here we go.
And then I'll tell you my Greg Fitzsimmons story.
Well, let's do that first.
Okay. So I'm 23 years old, and I've got a writing job working for a Time Out New York magazine.
Okay. Living in New York.
Living in New York.
Okay.
Is it a bad sign
what
that
do
the
you
blade's
need?
Gone?
You lost your blade.
it was precarious.
Here it is. Do you know how to reinsert it?
I do, but
I have other options.
I'm going to go with another option. I want something stronger.
Yeah, well, this feels like that, and it's got the plastic sheath.
It just needed to be tightened. It's good now.
I think you're doing
I'm try
a
this.
Decent job. I thought that I would be using the ruler the whole time.
No, you don't need it once you start.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Now that I'm
this is better. I'm going to move much faster than you. Okay, so I'm like 20.
Don't move fast. Don't try to compete. When there's knives involved and
crafts
people try to.
Crafts isn't about competing. That's the thing about art.
It doesn't feel like a craft at this point, does it? It feels like more like a job. Yes, Greg Fitzsimmons. So Greg Fitzsimmons, for context, people watching and listening, is a very well-known comedian. He was a writer on Ellen. He's written for a lot of things. I believe he's a four-time Emmy winner. And
for Ellen?
Something.
Okay.
I Wikipedia him.
Not for the thing I'm about to tell you about.
Okay, got it. And he's directing my stand-up special. Or maybe by the time this comes out, has directed it. Okay.
This isn't coming out for
It's
long?
Not live.
Oh. So I was like, I just got a job at Time Out New York, and there was a show on MTV, like a trivia show, that was coming out. And I called up so I could write, I write articles in which I do stuff.
Okay.
And I thought, I'll go on this, maybe I can get on the show.
As a contestant.
As a contestant.
Got it.
Right about it. It's like a trivia show on MTV. And so I call up, and I kill it. On the, you have to call in and they ask you questions. And
okay.
I killed it. And then they brought you down in person and I killed it again. Just really high score. So they put me on the first week of this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say they were apprehensive. They didn't want people that were actually that good at things.
No, it was, I was good at it for MTV. This wasn't Jeopardy.
Okay, got
it. So,
You were a young guy.
I was
fresh out of Stanford. Which I'm required to say several times throughout this
interview. Okay, so I go down to be on the show, which was called Idiot Savants.
Uh-huh.
And
got the idiot, by the way.
Yeah, well, yes. And the host of this show was Greg Fitzsimmons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you were waiting for the Greg Fitzsimmons part.
Also, so he would have been 28.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's 57 now. He's six years older.
It's so funny because he felt much older than me at the time because he had a job and
job.
He was hosting a show.
Yeah. And hair, maybe.
No, I don't think
he had hair. No, but he never had hair.
So he, I'm on the show, and I get very nervous in life.
Okay.
And you were on, the thing about the show is you were on for all five episodes, the whole week.
Oh, got it. That was an elimination.
Well, each day was an elimination. And if you got eliminated, you sat in the dunce corner with a dunce cap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you won for the day, you took the subject that you were a savant in, and they put you in a chamber, and they like fired questions at you really fast.
Okay.
And I had been a fact checker at TV Guide.
Okay.
So I just, and I liked the show Taxi, and I knew there was a Taxi book.
Okay.
And I had a quiz in the back.
Okay.
So I was like, lazy MTV writers are just going to use this quiz in the back.
Got
it. I'll just memorize this 20-question quiz.
Okay.
Right. So I get on the show, and I'm just, it's just panic. I don't know how to handle this.
Okay.
And everyone else is fine with being on TV. As you can tell, not me.
Yeah.
And
is that why you're drinking now?
Yeah. And so I just can't stop pressing the button as soon as he starts asking a question. He does not get to finish any questions.
And do you answer them?
Yeah, but incorrectly, because I don't understand the question.
Oh, wow. Oh, got it.
It's so bad that at some point, he asks a question, there's a category that's like, it's like three actors, Keitel, Walken, or someone else.
Okay.
And there's four contestants. And the three of them ring in, or two of them ring in. So there's only one answer left that's possible.
Oh.
So I can nail it.
Yeah.
But I panic and just repeat the person before me. I say, Walken?
Well, that's amazing.
And Greg Fitzsimmons just kind of like walks over to me from his host stand and hugs me and says, are you okay, buddy?
Right? Wait, in the show?
Yeah, in the show.
And it's so good. Oh my God.
And you know, all my friends are there because I'm young and friends will go to things.
That's right.
Family's watching. And then on the final day, I did get it together and somehow win. And then they put me in this booth and they asked me the questions straight from this Taxi book.
You were right that they did.
So they give you like a minute and I did it in like 15 seconds because they would get three words in and I knew the question. So I would just say $1.27. It looked like something was very wrong.
Yeah.
And then they gave me a trip to a ski trip, which I never took because I had a year to take it and I paid like $300 in taxes.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
So I lost money on that show.
That's, you know, it's funny because, you know, like the trip was for, you know, like promotional consideration. So the trip was free to them.
But not to me.
Yeah, you know, so like, because in your mind, it's like, I'd rather have the money. Yeah, so at the end of the day, you lost.
I did.
I always wondered if we'd ever be shooting one of these shows when this truck showed up.
Oh.
But what is it?
It's like a food
truck. I meant because of the beeping sound, but now I'm noticing that it's a Brazilian pastel. Can you get a shot of that, Shane?
Brazilian fast food. This sounds,
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Well, I got it for you because I thought maybe, I know you're a fan of the show Taxi.
Yeah.
And I asked for a yellow truck to show up. That's so funny. And so wait, you've talked to Greg's, have you guys run into each other since? I felt like he was on those best of the 80s type shows
too. Yeah, but we didn't get to meet each other.
You just shot out in front of the green screen or something. Yeah. Okay, so this is a bit verbose. I know how you don't like me to read long things.
Verbose? How about that Greg Fitzsimmons story? Jesus Christ. I was telling it. I was like, am I only halfway through?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're like, wow, we got it. Should we just do a two-parter?
Wait, I do have a question about the craft.
Yeah, look, both these guys are so interested, they're on their phones.
They've been on their phones. Look. I don't blame them.
I wish I could take
my phone out. Well, I have a question about this craft.
Okay.
Originally, when we started it, I figured we had to go to the bottom of the book. But now I'm realizing we probably don't.
We don't have to.
How far down are we supposed to go?
Nick, can you just put like the recycle bucket right here so I can just, because otherwise I'm making a huge mess.
What page do we need to get to?
I mean, I think the bottom.
Oh, we do. I think that's gonna be. You're much further.
Well,
than
the thing is, you can't multitask. You can't talk. Maybe if I do the talking.
But this is a whole problem with this idea of the show.
It's because it's a show about you.
But you have a show in which you can't multitask.
But the thing is like I just was thinking like about this show is like, A, I'm good at crafts.
Oh, is that why you did this?
Yeah, and also.
When did you learn you were good at crafts?
When I was very young. I won like a bunch of awards. I was a...
There's no crafting awards. What do you mean?
No, for art.
Oh, you did?
And so I won like this blue ribbon thing. And then I went to college and got my degree in fine art with a,
oh, really?
A focus in oil painting.
Really?
I was the last oil painter on this planet.
Where'd you do that?
Well, that's not important.
Wait, why?
Cortland College, because I know that you're an elitist.
No, but art I don't know anything about, so that seems impressive. Where's Cortland?
Cortland is in, it's just south of Syracuse, Newark.
Okay.
It's literally the, it's not the Bible Belt, it is literally the Snow Belt.
I've spent time up there. My wife's from upstate New York.
Where?
She's from a very small town called Hoosick Falls, which is north of Troy.
Oh, wow. I know Troy.
Yeah, I know Troy pretty well.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Syracuse is...
Yeah, please say something. I don't...
The Speedy Sandwich?
No.
No.
A Dinosaur Barbecue.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
I like Dinosaur Barbecue.
And there was an article a few years ago, and I was the number 87 most famous person in, to come from Syracuse.
What?
Yes, it is true.
But really?
Yeah.
Did...
First of all,
did our president go to college there? No.
Well, okay, so what they did was they started I thought it was like people from there, but they started combining.
No, he's from Delaware, we all know.
Right, so they started combining, yes, but he did go there, but combining like graduates.
That's not fair.
They're like Dick Clark, and you're like, well, whatever.
That's not right.
But.
Who's the most famous Syracuse?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is from Syracuse.
Tom Cruise grew up in Liverpool.
Liverpool, England?
Liverpool, New York.
Liverpool, New York.
Which is a small suburb of Syracuse. And I grew up there, right near where he grew up, was born. He was baptized by my great uncle, who also baptized me. And I ran into Tom Cruise at this studio, Santa Monica Studios, years ago. And
really? Does one run into Tom Cruise?
Well, he was getting ready for the movie Collateral and one of their sound stages, and I was running the studio. They had an animation division, and I was running that.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we rented out their motion capture stage, and I knew that he was there. And so I would always take that back. My buddy Steve was working there for me at the time. And so I used to take this back hallway in hopes that I would run into him.
Sure.
And then I never did. And because I was allowed down that hallway and other people couldn't do it. And then one day, I just took the hallway because I was heading that way. And he walks out of his trailer, I didn't even see it, and then I see someone's coming, I hold the door and it's him, and we walk down this hallway, which is probably 200 feet, and walking right next to him, and you're just like, I want to be like, oh, my great uncle baptized us, and da-da-da, and so I was like, hello, you know, like whatever.
You got cruised.
I got cruised.
I was in a room with Tom Cruise, I didn't get cruised.
You didn't?
No.
He's very, I don't say the word approachable, but he's incredibly nice. He has beautiful hair, and he was like, and he, I don't know if he could see that we were just like, because I think I just turned out, I'm like, hi, and he's like, hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah.
And he was like, just couldn't, I mean, it's kind of what you hear, but he couldn't have been nicer.
I was writing a story about Ron Paul, who was the Libertarian candidate for president.
Got it. Times.
And we were at the, he was being interviewed on, he was a guest on Leno.
Okay.
So we were at Leno, and Tom Cruise was a guest.
Oh, nice.
And Tom Cruise walked into Ron Paul's dressing room, where I was with Ron Paul.
Okay.
And he's like,
oh, God.
Mr. Paul? Oh, who's this? Oh, it's Dan Dunn.
Hold on, Dan.
Ugh. He, like, knows FBI lingo. He was like, what was he saying?
He doesn't know anything. No. He doesn't know anything.
He's very intimidating.
I was light on guests for the week. okay, so here we go. This bio of Joel Stein. You know, I could do this bio. Here, the minute I'm wrong, I'll stop. Joel Stein is an American journalist. Okay, there you go. Author and media personality, born on July 23rd, 1971 in Edison, New Jersey, USA. Best known for his humorous and satirical, well, that's not true. It's not that funny. So I also had a poem written about Joel Stein.
It's very good at poems. I have it write songs all the time.
In the style of Shel Silverstein.
Very good.
There once was a man named Joel Stein. That's not Joel. I mean,
that's not Shel Silverstein, no.
His humor was simply divine. With satire so sharp and wit so keen, he brought laughter to all he'd seen.
This is a limerick.
It is, but then it just keeps changing styles.
Oh, what a great
shirt. Is it, Dan, is it today? Hey, Dan, thanks for dressing up for my show.
It's a great shirt, though.
Yeah. Josh, could you get my two friends a beer?
What? Yeah.
Yeah. This is, Dan's our next guest. This is Josh. He's a provider. Go through.
Good to see you.
Crossover.
What's up, brother?
I'm happy to see you.
I was a really bad handshake.
You remember Rick from
Hey, how are you? It's great seeing you.
Okay, so let me see. From pop culture to politics, he'd delve. Mm-hmm. With a pen that could rival an elf.
That's right. Mm.
His words would twist with glee and leave readers in fits of ecstasy.
No. That's the first. That's not right.
But Joel was look at it, past tense.
That's accurate.
was more than just a funny guy. He had a knack for making people try to see the world in a different way and question what they'd taken for play. He wrote of masculinity and its flaws and defended the value of cultural draws in a world that oftentimes forgot the power of ideas that could often be wrought. So here's to Joel. It's a toast.
Oh.
It's a toast. So here's to Joel, a writer of note, a man whose humor will forever float in the hearts of those who laugh and love and cherish the power of a clever craft. Oh, that rhymes with laughed. Cheers. Oh, you took that one. We did not get to the felt lining, but I feel like I've left you with something that you could hide jewelry in.
How far did you get?
Not that far. I was busy with the conversation.
This is challenging.
It is challenging. But I wanted to take a book that was big enough and that you could keep some of your precious things in it. A microfilm?
Microfilm. I don't have any microfilm. Fiche? Film.
Microfiche?
Yeah.
Would be something fun to keep in there. Maybe a USB drive with sensitive information.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Oh, how about your your Bitcoin?
You know what? I did a bunch of stories on Bitcoin. I have a wallet.
There you go.
This is where I'll put my. Have you talked to those dudes?
Yeah.
They all are like, I keep them in six different places. I can't tell you where they are. I'm like, are they your parents' house? Like, I can't say. I'm like, they're your parents' house.
Now everyone's gonna know where it is. So I wouldn't keep
it's
this.
Always
maybe
everyone's
maybe
parents'
you carve out one of your other books.
If you find one of those Sam. Bankman-Fried guys who have a lot of money, you want to rob them, don't go to their house, go to their parents' house.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And then go into the floorboard of the room they grew up in.
Find the Dan Brown book.
Yeah.
The floorboard next to where the
penthouses
would have
been. In the floorboard. Yeah. I was building in my closet, I was building like a safe hidden in the wall, and I was like, what's the first place?
Where did you keep porn magazines as a kid?
Under a log in the woods.
Jesus.
That's where I would do most of my
best. That's upstate New York.
Well,
like that.
That's where, you would kind of, my friend's father would get them for the articles. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd steal them from him.
And we'd steal them.
But he must have known, right? But there was so much shame involved that like you could steal them from
true.
Him, but he couldn't then
that's
accuse
true.
You because everyone had to pretend they didn't exist.
Yes, exactly.
It's a good deal.
Okay, I am being signaled that it's time for the six-pack challenge.
It's time for the six-pack challenge.
What you're going to do is you will get $50 per every question you answer correctly to use in my store, my Pleplius store.
I just bought a damn sweatshirt from you.
Did you really?
Because my son, you gave me a sweatshirt a long time ago.
You seem upset.
I am upset.
Okay.
Because it was a drinking sweatshirt,
uh-huh.
And my son loved the sweatshirt, but mm-hmm. eventually he was like, this is a little weird, a drinking sweatshirt. So
okay.
He went on your website on his own and picked out some other, because he's a kid, he loves the fact there's a million pockets. He mm-hmm. picked out some other sweatshirt, and I had to buy it from his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And I told you, and you're like,
use
my coupon code, but you didn't include what the coupon code was, so I had to pay full price. So I just spent a lot of money.
I told you, I sent you a coupon code.
No, it said, here's a coupon code, and then it didn't say anything afterwards.
What an asshole. It seems premeditated.
It seemed funny.
Yeah.
The more I thought about it, I thought it was a joke. I was like, I'm the jerk.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
So now you get cash. You get money to use in the store.
It's too late.
Well, you can still buy something for yourself. We have other things in there besides buying sweatshirts.
He loves
these
sweatshirts.
Like this, for example,
he
what I'm wearing.
He has no idea who you are. He just thinks you're a clothing manufacturer of the highest order.
Wow.
Yeah.
He is correct. Well, for every question you answer correctly, your son gets a gift. It's $50 to use in the store. I had ChatGPT write this, and what I said to it was, write six trivia questions that are not about Joel Stein, because it kept giving me questions about you, but that he might be able to answer. I kept trying to word it. It kept spitting me out things about you. So here we go. And I don't know whether or not this is true, or if you are really someone who would be the authority on such things, mm-hmm. but let's begin. Who played the character president Josiah Bartlett in the TV show The West Wing?
I did not watch that show, but it was Martin Sheen.
It was. Why do you think that was given to you? $50.
By.
Is there anything that would associate?
If you just give me the coupon code, we wouldn't have to do all this.
I know, but I'm gonna make you work for it. My goal is to have you.
It was here's a coupon code, and then see you soon. Come
question.
On my podcast. It's like
right.
Okay, I'll
That's
go.
Right. Ahead. Well, yeah. Shane will be the one to send you the coupon codes.
Yeah,
have
sure.
you sent them
I'm
out
sure
to people
he will.
Yet? No. What is the name of the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
The oldest?
ChatGPT. And ChatGPT thinks that you would know it. And it was right
some
about
this
and it was
just flew in the beer.
Yeah, I know. But it was right about the first one. It's just paper. It was right about the first one.
I'm going to guess it's somewhere in Persia. And by the way, as soon as I'm wrong, just stop this.
Stop.
Okay.
Damascus, Syria.
It was
Persia? Syria? Was Persia?
The general region.
General region? I'm sorry, is that?
I meant like, should I think Rome? Should I think, you know,
yeah.
Constantinople? But it was,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, do you want
no.
partial credit?
No, I don't want it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not gonna get it anyway. It
this is amazing. Write 6 trivia questions that are not about Joel Stein, but that he may be able to answer. Mm-hmm. What is the chemical formula for water?
I got this.
Okay, go.
I got this.
Go.
H2O,
uh-huh.
2 hydrogen, 1 oxygen.
That's correct. Stanford. Okay. Who is the only U.S. president to have served 2 non-consecutive terms in office?
I would definitely know it's Grover Cleveland.
That's correct. So we are up to $150 for your son.
I can't believe that.
And what year did the first iPhone become available
for
purchase?
Oh, we just talked about this.
Who did?
My wife and I.
Okay.
And it was more recently than you
just,
think.
Just so you know, when you give me the answer, do I accept like a roundabout, or are we going for something specific?
I think you need the answer.
Okay.
I think you need the year. And I'm only being this generous because I know I'm never going to get it, whatever it is. It's much more recently than you think.
Okay. I disagree. But that's all subjective, right?
I'm torn between 2 numbers. If they're both wrong, we'll move on.
Yeah, great.
2007 and 2013.
2007 is
2007.
Correct. 2007. Yeah. $200. Who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird?
Harper Lee.
Harper Lee.
Yeah.
$250. That is it. That is what you leave here with. Shane will make sure you get it.
Yeah. Never gonna
happen. Yeah, here's the other one just really quick and then we'll wrap it up. In Joel Stein's controversial Time magazine, The Case for Nationalism, what does he argue is the primary reason for the rise of nationalism in America?
I never wrote an article called The Case for Nationalism. I never. It's like everything I don't believe in.
So, what is the answer?
Wait, what is the question?
He argues, so in that article that you put someone else's name on it, what does he argue is the primary reason for the rise of nationalism? He says that the rise of nationalism in America is due to a lack of sense of national identity and pride, as well as a reaction to globalization and immigration.
Wow. The second part makes sense.
So sensitive.
But the first part isn't even logically tracked. Is
okay.
that from AI?
Yes, it all is, yeah.
So it says the reason for the rise of nationalism is, read the first part. Is what?
Due to a lack of sense of national identity. And
so
pride.
The rise of nationalism is because there was
a lack of pride? Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah, right, it's true. You're correct.
I'm not like that.
Do you know that there is a show called, and I don't know if you know about this, it was called Forever. It's an AI show about. It's called Nothing Forever, and it's a.
I wrote about this, the Seinfeld.
Oh, you wrote about that. Okay.
I did write about it for
it's
Wired.
It's a show about nothing forever. So it was Seinfeld. And correct me if I'm wrong. Just stop me whenever I'm wrong. It was basically AI wrote it.
It looked like Roblox.
Yeah, and like Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
And then it was just continuous.
It ran forever.
Meaning there wasn't episodes, it was just always on.
No, it was always
and
on.
People would go and watch it for hours and hours at a time. Yeah. And then there was, it would go, the 2 locations were his apartment and then the stand-up, the mic.
Correct.
And he said on the mic something that was a observation that was taken as transphobic, and then they shut it down.
So I didn't... This is going to get controversial. I didn't think the comment that the computer generated was that transphobic.
And by the way, the computer said it. So what was the, you know?
Well, that was the interesting part, which is like, if you are, if So Sam Altman's been really careful with ChatGPT-3 and what it pulls from and what it's allowed to say. Mm-hmm. But if you just let AI do its thing using the whole of the web as its
right.
database.
It's going to pull other people's opinions.
It's going to pull some crazy stuff.
Yeah,
because, I mean,
right.
if it's using 4chan, if it's using just people's, you know,
yeah.
chats, it's going to, people, turns out, are pretty transphobic and racist and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's, and so,
especially when they can hide behind.
And so it really becomes an interesting moral question of, like, do you want this to actually be an intelligence that's replicating human thought, or
yeah.
is there someone who's going to decide what's acceptable or
right.
not, and who
right.
should that person be?
Right. And it was. We found the limit of...
But the more interesting thing to me, and I actually, like, interviewed people that should have called you. I called, like, Whitney Cummings and some other people for my article, and the question was really, why is ChatGPT unable to be funny? Because Seinfeld is not...
Oh, right.
You can watch that Seinfeld all day long. He never comes up with a joke.
Yeah, there was like, they listed, like, two jokes, and they're just like, that's not so great.
They're really bad. Most of them
yeah.
don't even make sense, and they're
yeah.
not... It was... And AI is good at some things, not apparently poetry, but it really...
I will disagree.
It's not suited for telling a joke, because a joke is when you take the expectation and you subvert it.
That's
a little
right.
bit, right?
That's right.
And what AI is doing is trying to just meet the expectation.
That's right.
Right? It's like, yep. what is the word that most commonly follows this word?
That's right.
And
right.
so it's really, really...
It can't quite come up with surprise. It can't,
no.
It can't do the unexpected because it feels like its job is to do the expected.
The math is not that hard on comedy, but... It's still math.
Yeah, well.
And it has a lot of trouble.
I'll disagree. What happened?
No, I just...
You Google something.
No.
Yeah, then say it.
So I want to do this on the road, just as, because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I started telling AI to write like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how unfunny it is.
Yeah.
But I want to like... Do videos of me doing AI sets from like hotel room, like,
yeah.
and then adding in afterwards.
Oh yeah, where it expects it, yeah.
So it's like, hey, how's everyone doing tonight? Good? Great. So I'm here to make you laugh, or at least give you a good chuckle. If I fail, just remember, I'm doing this for free, and then like, big eruption of laughter. You know, I've been trying to lose weight recently. I heard that laughter burns calories, so I figured I'd give stand-up a shot. If that doesn't work out, I'll just have to resort to eating celery and drinking water like a rabbit. And like really just, I mean, it's ridiculous.
But it is, but you know what? If you said this in a kindergarten classroom, you might bring down the house.
But if you deliver, I think it'd be so funny to
yeah.
deliver it sincerely as a comic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it's not funny.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I think it's funny.
It's ridiculous.
But that's what's funny is the unexpected, understanding that. So,
How did you get so far?
Because I just went at it towards the end. I got angry.
Are you just much stronger than me?
Yes. So here's the thing. I put my weight into it. So here's the thing.
Did you really?
Yeah. You got light-colored clothing that blood would just go really well with.
Have people hurt themselves on this show?
Femoral. It's called your femoral artery. And you're getting awfully close to it. And if you puncture it, there won't be enough time for any of us to save
you. Is that another $50 you'll never send me?
That's exactly right. You really want to get down to the bottom of it. If we were to focus on the task and not talk at all, I think we would have done it.
I don't think so.
What we would have done is taken this beautiful felt lining and lined the inside of it like that and made some slits there and then glued it in, and it would have been like this beautiful presentation. But
this will still work.
It'll still work. Like, by the way, like this looks ratty from here, you know what I mean? But if it just goes on the shelf, and then there I have in my, like, I probably would keep my ammunition in there. Yeah. So, a craft not yet complete. It looks fantastic. You did it. You nailed it.
You couldn't tell.
Joel Stein, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You killed it.